The Lord wants us to win the loss, doesn't he?
Yes.
God wants to help us, amen. And I understand there was a lot of confusion about the meeting and things that were going on. And they said Brother Raines had tried to get some people to come preach with my dad. And they started out by trying to get two spiritual men to come preach with him. And they couldn't come. And, you know, all the things that can happen. And then so they said, well, we'll get some well-read men to come. You know, maybe they don't be spiritual, but they'll be able to say something smart. And again, there was conflicts, and so they said, well, maybe we can get some good-looking preachers to come. And Tony called me, and he said, we can't turn them down three times in a row, so let's go preach for them, amen. I said, all right, we'll go, and so we're glad to be here, amen. Thank God for his blessings on all of us. I need to pray. I haven't prayed all day except for, Lord, don't let them catch me, and is that cop looking at me, and if you've ever drove a tractor trailer, you spend the rest of your life looking in your rear view every time you see lights. I know the brakes don't work and the lights don't work and the tags are dead. I was driving for a guy one time that he had a 98 Peterbilt and a 97 Peterbilt, and the 98 Peterbilt didn't have tags and the 97 Peterbilt didn't have a motor. So we took the tags off the 97, put it on a 98. He said, take all that other, and if they pull you over, just tell them something's mixed up with this company. I said, okay. We got pulled over one night. We weighed 100,000 gross hauling coal, and they pulled up there, and they said, do you want to get on the scales? He said, no. He said, is there anything you'd like to say? He said, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Amen. Lord, help us tonight. Amen. Romans chapter number 7. We have a brief moment of prayer. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Father, we want to preach your will tonight, and as we have walked upon the platform with one thing on our heart, and then we feel definitely, Lord, that you've changed us to another text, I pray that you would illuminate our mind, Lord, as we don't have notes and stuff in front of us, but we want to preach something that would help somebody walk out of here tonight and be better for you. Well, thank you for that and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And I believe we can preach the message God has for us tonight and get us out in time enough to beat the Pentecostals to the restaurant. Amen. Romans chapter number 7, I love this verse, these verses. And Brother Biddle said he couldn't even read them until he learned to quote them because he said he would get so tongue-tied. Romans chapter number 7. Verse number 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. That's why a lot of people can't understand it. But I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. I was talking to the preacher the other day. He had told me his thoughts on what he preached tonight. I haven't preached it yet. I haven't even finished the thought process, but Paul said it was unlawful to write what he had saw. Now what law was that against? Was it against the law of Rome? No, you can say anything you want to do in Rome besides Jesus Christ was king. Was it against the law of the Hebrew? No, they had all kinds of things. They had written and thought about heaven, even pictures they had drawn of heaven. What law was he breaking? I tell you, one law was the law of the mind. It would have blew your mind if he had wrote what he saw in heaven. It would have defied the law of sin, because sin says your body must die, but heaven says, no, it doesn't. You get a brand new one. There's some laws that would have been broken if he would have wrote down what he saw in heaven. Paul says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. The law of sin says the body and the soul, that sin has to die. We are dying people. I want to preach to you this afternoon, evening, for just a few minutes on this thought: living, or are you living a man in the middle? Do you feel like your Christian life is somewhere hung between a sinner and success that God wants you to have? Do you feel like that you are somewhere between heavenly bliss and hell's bonds? Somewhere between there. I feel like at times I'm right on the verge of living in the reality that I'm going to heaven and I can be what God wants me to be. And then it seems like the next day I am feeling the same drag of the chains of hell that I thought I had broken away from. I feel that I'm not good enough to go to heaven and enjoy the joys of Christ, but I'm not bad enough to fit in with the world. There's a lot of us live in that place. And if we don't live there, we have days that we live there. I want to give you three reasons why we live there, and then I want to give you some things out of the Word of God to help you break out of that place. It's not the reality of my life that even though I know these things are in the Word of God, that I always live triumphant in them. But it is true that when I do live in them, I can live above the fray of this world. Number one, I want to say one of the things that binds us and keeps us in this place is past tense. Past tense. It would amaze you tonight if you understood the things that are in the past of Christians tonight who love God, but the devil constantly reminds them of things they have done in their past, and they cannot rise above the things that are in their past. It would amaze you at ladies that were led astray by false scientific statements and sin, that have abortions in their past and never speak of it, never talk about it, but they can never get over it. They live and are saved and feel, I do not deserve the joy of Jesus because of my past. That's a lie. That's a lie. It would amaze you tonight if you knew the men that sit in church and want to serve God and want to do what's right, but they failed in the past, maybe sexually or immorally some other way, and they feel like because of that, I cannot and do not deserve the joy of the Lord in my heart. That's a lie. That's a lie. We don't condone sin. We don't try to make allowances for sin. But that doesn't change the fact that God wants you to live in joy and in the glory of His presence in the midst of your life. Past sins have nothing to do with the joy that God expects you to enjoy. Problems that are in your past have nothing to do with the reality that if you're a child of God, you can walk in victory. Satan has no right. This world has no right. Your family has no right. Nothing has a right to bring up sin that is behind you that God forgot about. Amen. God wants you to walk in joy. He wants you to live above the fray of maybe but not quite enough. I feel like I've served the Lord today, but I don't feel like I should enjoy the blessings God has given me. Although it's true you don't deserve what God's done for you, it is also just as much true that you are a child of God and you have rights and privileges that the rest of this world does not have the ability nor the right to tap into. Your past tense should not affect you as a child of God. Number two, present thorns. Present thorns. Can you go with me in your mind's eye to the Apostle Paul as he get down before his Savior, who he knew that I may know him? And then he said, I do know him. Paul was such an individual that he would come and preach at the Progress Baptist Church, maybe stay a week, like he did in some places, maybe 3 months as he did in others, maybe 2 years as he did in others. And he would go up the road and somebody would say, do you know Brother so-and-so? Yes, I know him. Well, is he still doing carpenter work? I don't have a clue. Well, didn't you just come from there? Oh, yes. What, was he still doing carpenter work? I don't know. What does he do? He said, I determined while I was there not to know anything among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. We never talked about how big a deer he'd killed. We never talked about it, what his golf score was. We never talked about the deals he was making in business. All we ever discussed was the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all I know is that he's a child of God. But that man got down on his knees and said, God, I have a thorn. Would you consider removing my thorn? Oh, I know the writers say, one says, oh, it was his eyesight, and we know what it was. Another says it was his crippled leg. I forget which leg they said was crippled in one of the beatings, and that he was crippled. I'll tell you what the Bible said. He said it was a messenger of Satan sent to buffet him. Can I tell you tonight that that messenger is just like it often is in our life when the phone vibrates in our pocket day after day and we fear what the other line has to say about the world that we live in and how corrupt and vile that it is. We go down the road and we see the ambulance go by and we say that's headed toward home. I hope that everything's all right. Can I tell you, Paul lived with somebody constantly knocking in his mind and in his heart and in his flesh, reminding him and dogging his steps. Every day that he lived, there was a cruel messenger from the devil. It was a messenger that made sure every friend that ever failed him, he got a note. It was a cruel messenger that made sure that everybody that died that Paul loved, he was notified. It was a messenger from Satan sent to buffet him. Can I remind you that the Bible says that it did buffet him? That does not mean they played patty cake. That doesn't mean they were friends. It means that he was beating Paul up. Paul's telling you, I went to bed at night and I was beat up by that problem that I dealt with. I was beat up. It beat me daily. I went to bed at night beat up by the messenger from Satan. And I tell you, there's days that we go through and we feel like everything's going all right and we're about to climb out on top and there's a knock at the door of our heart and we go to bed at night saying, I failed again. I wasn't what I was supposed to be. I'm saddened and I'm distraught and I'm down and discouraged. And I'm telling you tonight, you can rise above. Paul said he buffets me. But he also said, I fall. A good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. There's been a lot of fighters down through the world, but there's never been one that wasn't hit. There's never been one that went home feeling good every fight. Are you listening to me tonight? Hey, child of God, just because you don't have a perfect running record, all the battles that you fought doesn't mean that God is not willing to help you tonight. Just because you was discouraged today doesn't mean God's not sending help in your way tonight. I'm telling you, God wants to help you, and you don't have to live your life hung out between heaven and hell. You can say, I know God is going to help me. You can be sure in the promises of God. Lord, would you remove this thorn? No, Paul. Gets up. Maybe describes to some brother somewhere that we don't know. This is what I'm going through. This is what I'm dealing with. This is my problem. And the next thing you know, he goes to a meeting. And somebody says, I heard you was dealing with this and that. And the messenger of Satan says, nobody cares. Nobody cares. You've been chewed up and spit out behind your back again, Paul. Teameth hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. All men forsook me. Paul goes back again in prayer to God. God, do you think there's any way you could take this out? You think, you, Lord, you could deal with this problem that's mine? I don't know what your problem is tonight, but I'll promise you, if you've tried to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll guarantee you the devil's put a bullseye on your back and a thorn in your side, and he's going to see to it that he aggravates the areas in your life that are the most tender and will get your attention and cripple you in your walk for Christ. And the Apostle Paul went back the third time. And he said, God, is it possible that you would take this thorn from me? And Sam B. Jones said in 1896 when he got up, God shoved it down to the head and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Hey, my grace is sufficient for thee. Can I tell you tonight, Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, I was riding across England on a train, and I began to think about my grace is sufficient for thee. And he said, I seen a man crawling across the desert thirsty, and somebody came out with a glass of water, and the Holy Spirit said, no, look down in that crevasse below you and see that raging torrent of a river. Go down to the bottom of the river and look at that minnow in the bottom. And he says, I'm thirsty. And he says, it's all around you. My grace is not enough. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Live inside the grace of God. Preacher, I don't feel like I have a right again today to say, God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to make it. Why don't you? Without God's help, you're not going to make it. Present thorns. And I want to say a perspective on truth. Jesus said, I preach on the street every Wednesday night. I won't be this week particularly, but I preach on the street, and I like to make these two statements. The Bible says, and Jesus said. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are labor heavy laden. Now I'll give you a rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He said, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let me ask you something tonight, child of God. Is your burden light tonight? If it's not, let me give you a piece of sound information. Jesus didn't put on you more than you could bear. You've loaded your wagon with things God did not intend for you to carry. Amen. Brother Doug, I know that doesn't sound spiritual, but it's still true. If my burden is not light, then I'm carrying something God didn't intend for me to bear. He said, my burden is light. But preacher, I have X, Y, and Z going on. So does the world, but you've got Jesus to help bear the load with you. Amen. Why don't you back up and let him pull a little bit instead of chafing in the yoke trying to get a hold of God and relax in the blessings of the glory of being yoked up with Jesus. Amen. There's a boat full of men that God wants to bless. He said, put your net down on the right side. Fine. And they do, and they pull it in. And everything's okay until two other boats say, hey, we can help you with that. I'm telling you, that ship that he had filled with those fish, if they had filled it all the way up to the crow's nest, would have sailed into the harbor. But here comes two boats. Those fish ain't for them. And they start filling their boat, and they begin to sink. Hey, I'm going to tell you what, there's been times in my life I've been trying to carry everybody else's fish, and I feel like I sink in my boat trying to help them. Can I tell you tonight, God does not want you burning down tonight. You can lift up your hands in private, or you can do it in public and say, my God will see me through. I don't know how God's going to do it, but I'll tell you, take another look at the truth, the perspective of the truth, that God will bear your load. Amen. Amen. Brother Biddle used to say, if God has to put the angels on half rations to feed you, he'll do it. Why are you discouraged, child of God? Why are you letting the wisdom of this world tell you you can't make it? Why are you allowing the soul-sayers, the socialites, dictate to you the amount of happiness you can have in Jesus? Why are you allowing your past and your family and your failures to tell you how much of God's goodness you're allowed to enjoy? Preacher, I'm a failure. So was the Apostle Paul. God told him over 3 times not to go to Jerusalem, and he went anyway. I'm glad he didn't quit after disobeying 3 times. Amen. Hey, are you listening to me tonight? You can collar it up any way you want to. I'm telling you tonight, you look down at the disciples. They were a complaining, jealous bunch of men. But God filled them with the Holy Spirit and turned the world upside down, wrote the New Testament. And tonight we sit here, and everything we know about the glory of God is written in the New Testament, done by the men that God touched who were imperfect. I don't want you to, but if you cursed and denied Christ last week, ask him to forgive you and stand up and go on. What are you going to do about it? I'm glad Peter didn't quit. Hey, I'm not here making allowances for sin, but I'm just telling you, sometimes the devil beats us up to the place we can't even feel like we can testify out in the world. Preacher, I do have some issues that I'm dealing with. I'll take 5 minutes and give you. Verse number 15. For that which I do, I allow not. Never make allowances for what you do. This word here, allow, means to grant or to give or to yield to. Never say, I know I do such and so, but it's not. Only the sinner says it's not so bad. The saint says it's not so good. Never make allowances. Never make allowances. And for God's sake, don't make allowances in prayer. Surely to goodness you wouldn't try to lie to God about what he already saw you do. Sam Jones said he was preaching in an area, and this man was so filled with the Holy Spirit that people could see it on his countenance. One brother from another county over in Georgia rode a horse all the way to where he lived and walked in and said, I must know before we eat together, what have you done to be so filled with the Holy Spirit? He said, it was really simple. He said, I got down on my knees, and in an earnest spirit, I said, God, I will never lie to you again. And he said, God, fill me with the Holy Spirit. That man jumped up from the table, as what Sam Jones said, and run into the other room, fell down, and he could hear him on the couch say, oh God, I too will never lie to thee. Fill me with thy spirit. And he rose up saying, God done it. He filled me with the Spirit of God. Don't allow. Don't make allowances for your sin. Number two, learn to hate what you do. What I hate, that do I. I hate it. You know how you learn to hate something, you learn to love something else? Yeah. You can love that Ford truck till it starts breaking down on you all the time. Then you get to where you hate it. Amen. You can love God so much the Bible said that you'd hate father or mother. You have to make it. When it comes down to a choice, there's no choice. Wife or children, no choice. No choice. Learn to hate. Whatever it is that's bothering you, would you be honest enough with it to call it by its first name and really be honest with it enough and say, you know what, I hate this. Number two, three, four. He said, I consent unto the law that it is good. That word consent there means to say jointly. God, whatever you say about it, that's what I'm going to say about it. You called it XYZ, Lord, that's what it is. You said I need to be doing thus and so, Lord, I need to be doing thus and so. Have you ever said this? Lord, do you want me to witness to them? Is that you, Lord? Well, it's not the devil. Amen. Somebody told me that the Mardi Gras was so wicked the devil passed out gospel tracts down there, but that's not so. There's no place bad enough that he cares about souls. Lord, would you like for me to witness? Me? Yeah. What did the Bible say? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's you and that's them. Would you just agree with God? I consent to the law that it is good. Lord, whatever you say is right. You told me to be faithful to the house of God. I'm going to be faithful to the house of God. You told me to give. I'm going to give. You told me to go. I'm going to go. You told me to do. I'm going to do. You told me not to. I won't. Your word's right. And he said, there's no good in me, in my flesh, but to will is present with me. Can I ask you tonight, what are you determined to do? You tell me what you're determined to do, and I'll tell you what your end will be. What are you determined to do? We don't need illustration tonight to point out the thousands of people that folks said they can't do that, they can't do this, they'll never succeed in that, and tonight they're doing it, and they have done it, and they succeeded. Are you determined? If you could have anything you wanted tonight, what would it be? That's what your will is. Despite the cost, despite the problems, and no interruptions, what do you want, young lady? What do you really want? That's what your will is. And he said, for I delight in the law of God. How much do you delight in the Word of God? Is it more important to you than your daily food? How do I know that? Can you go without eating but not go without reading? That's how you know. I close with this illustration. I've tried to give away from giving it too many illustrations, but this is a good one, and it's true. As far as I know, it could be a lie, I don't know. But I was listening to radio the other day, and a man for the Voice of the Martyrs was speaking. He writes in the magazine called The Voice of the Martyrs. Many of you probably saw that magazine, and he was in a foreign country. I don't remember if it was China or the Middle East. I think it was the Middle East, but he was sitting down with a lady who had had a ladies group in her home, and she taught the Word of God to these ladies. And they come in and they took her to prison. And she'd been in prison like 8 months. And he had an interpreter there, and he said, I need you to tell me about prison and what happened to you in prison so that I can write about it in America and bring Americans to their knees to pray. The interpreter spoke to her, and they spoke back, and the interpreter looked at him and said, she said, it was wonderful. He said, there's been a mistranslation. I need her to tell me how what happened to her in prison and what went on in prison to her, what was done to her in prison, that I could write to the American Christian to pray for the people of the Middle East or wherever, or is China. It was either China or the Middle East. He spoke to her and she smiled and spoke, and she said, to tell you, it was wonderful. He said, all right. Ask her if she can describe what she means by wonderful. She began to speak, and he said, a smile going on her face. This is what the man said. This man was there. He talked to this woman, supposedly. I guess he did. Surely he didn't lie about it. He said, here's what she said. She said, when they come and arrested me, I was afraid. When they carried me to the jail and woke me to my cell and opened the door, she said, I felt the divine presence of God like I had never felt before in my life. I felt like He was literally standing in that prison cell. And I was overwhelmed with the joy and the presence of God. And she said, I lived in that for 8 months to a year, every second. She said, in every cell around me was a lost lady. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, I witnessed till every one of them became a child of God. She said, I had God's divine presence and an unending ministry. That's wonderful. I don't know what we're going through tonight. It could be not in a cell, but just as bad as that. And we can say, I delight to do thy will, O God. I delight in the law of God. What you say, I'll do. Where you send, I'll go. Lord, I'll go wherever you send me. I'll say whatever you want me to say. No strings attached. I'll say this, I'm done. The Apostle Paul said the whole law is fulfilled in one word. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That shows preachers lie and have been for years. That's not one word. I met a missionary one time and he said, you got to watch how you speak to old timers. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I was in a meeting years ago when I was on deputation. He said, I was up in Michigan. He said, Dr. Don Green walked up to me and he said, young man, do you have a place to stay tonight, you and your wife? He said, I cockily, stupidly said, Dr. Green, don't worry about me. He said, we sold everything we got. We got a tent. We'll just stay there. He said, Dr. Green, without ever batting an eye, I said, son, that's the way to do it. Cut the strings and go all out for God. See you tomorrow. That's the way we used to believe. Can I tell one more quick little one? Just one more. I heard the story of a lady that was in a church. I don't remember where she was. She may be around here. I don't remember exactly where the lady was. But she told a preacher friend of mine, she said, we come home one day and Daddy was, I think, building a boat. Do you know this story? And her mother came in. They all come out. Daddy, what are you doing? He said, God's called us to Haiti, and I'm building us a boat to get there. No thought process of raising any money. No thought process of somebody will fly us there. God told me to go to Haiti, and the only way I know to get there is a boat, so I'm building a boat. You know what I believe? If she'd have never known any difference, if he'd have never known any difference, if he'd have finished that boat and got somebody to carry it, God would have got into Haiti. But brother, we just don't believe it no more. God can still do whatever He wants to do with whoever He wants to do it, whenever He wants to do it. Funds are unlimited. God don't even worry about them. Physical issues are not an issue to God. He can still heal and send you to where He wants you to go or let you live till you get there. We don't have to live a man in the middle. We can live above. God wants us to live on the other side of that. Don't let this world or the devil or your flesh tell you you're not ready for that. You are. Father, thank you tonight. I pray that you would take that which is spiritually and scripturally sound in the message tonight and bore it down in the hearts and ears of men and women, boys and girls. That which is said, Lord, wrong or out of place through my inability in spiritualness or, Lord, lack of vocabulary, I pray that you'd forgive it and wipe it out. In Jesus' name, we give you glory.